Our scripture today is from the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 1 to 18. Hear now God's word. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, this is one of my, one of my top 400 favorite things about the Bible. And this is in that list. I read this scripture almost every time I do a funeral. And it wasn't always that way. In fact, I had another scripture that I would read for a funeral, another Psalm 130 or 133, I can't remember which. But then someone suggested I read this for their loved one who had passed. This was one of their favorite psalms of all times. And as I read it, the more I read it, the more I have fallen in love with it. For it speaks of God's love in such a powerful way that I just... really has brought me comfort in so many ways throughout my life, and ways that I've experienced in truth. When I was in college, I wasn't the best kid in the world, wasn't the worst either for that matter. But I, as is the same for many people who go to college, it was a time of experimentation and, you know, doing those things that your parents told you couldn't do. You know, it's like the kid whose parents said you can't cross the street. And the moment that the parent turns their back, the kid is across the street. It was kind of college for me. And I went away from the Lord a little bit during that time. But it's college that I learned the truth of this particular psalm. Is that I can never get away from the Lord. No matter how hard I tried, no matter how fast I ran, no matter where I went, I always saw God there one way or another. Or as I look back on my life and on that particular part of my life, I saw that God was present even during that time. And so it greatly challenged me. About what it means to have God in my own life. It reminded me, and I've shared this with you a few times over the years that we've been together. When you're invited to a dinner and you're having polite dinner conversations, there are two things that you're not allowed to talk about. Now, I've used this as an illustration before, but those two things are
Politics
and religion. Do not talk it. There are just two, right? I mean, that's all that I ever remember being told. I'm sure there are more. I can probably think of some other things we shouldn't talk about too. over the polite dinner conversation. But politics and religion are those two things that you should never talk about over a polite dinner conversation. And I, you know, thought, why? Why can't you talk about politics or religion over a polite dinner conversation? So one day over a polite dinner conversation, I brought up politics. And then I learned why you shouldn't talk about politics, religion over a polite dinner conversation. For some reason, those two topics in our lives, people not only disagree, but can disagree wildly upon them. And it holds such passion. People have such passion about these topics that it's easy to get into fights or arguments or disagreements over these things. And so if you're going to talk about anything over a polite dinner conversation, it should probably be the weather, sports, whether they're a cat person or a dog person. Even that topic you have to be careful of, though. Or you know, those kinds of things. But it also brings about an unintentional truth about those two things, politics and religion. And because we're in church, religion specifically, it's that you shouldn't have, saying you shouldn't have religious conversations is showing that religious conversations is compartmentalized from the rest of our lives. That religion is compartmentalized from the rest of our lives, meaning we can be in our lives either religious or not religious. That we can live in a way that shows our religion or live in a way that does not show our religion. And actually, I think that this is kind of a false dichotomy. I don't think that it's possible to separate or I mean, we can try and people have tried. I don't think it's possible to separate our religion, our Christianity, from the way that we live in every other part of our life. Meaning, to put it in somewhat light terms, that when you talk about baseball, you do so as a Christian talking about baseball. Your love for Christ, your respect for others, your loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, loving your neighbor as yourself will come through as you talk about the Pirates. The Pirates in particular. That pirate organization, they're a bunch of bums. I can't stand every one of them. They're dumb and they're big jerks and they're only after money and they've been keeping our organization down for years and years and years. I'm not sure if that would be what one would call proper Christian talk or respect for the pirate or organization. Our Christian love comes out in whatever we do. When we go to the store, we're just not people from Trafford or wherever we live going to the store. We're Christian men and women going to the store. And I have failed many times showing the love of Christ when I've been at the store or driving my car or doing whatever it is that I'm doing. But it's not that my Christianity is not separate from the rest of my life. When we talk about church, church isn't just that 1 hour on Sunday morning in which we worship God. We are in church and a part of church wherever we find ourselves. I try to remind us this as we say the closing prayer, Lord, help us to remember that we're not leaving church, but taking church into all the world. Our religion, our love for Christ cannot be compartmentalized, but it's all that we do. It's all that we are. As I went to, as I was a hospital chaplain in Shadyside, I wasn't allowed to pray in the name of Jesus because there were all kinds of different religions and non-religions represented there in the hospital. So when I went to a patient, I couldn't assume that they were Christian. So as I prayed and I asked them if they wanted me to pray, some did, some didn't. But as I prayed, I didn't pray in the name of Jesus. It's bothered me, and I asked the chaplain there who was there, I am Christian. Why can't I pray in the name of Jesus? And she explained why, but she also said, is in the name of Jesus, is that what makes your prayer a Christian prayer? So it's not like it's some magic words that if you put it on, then it's some sort of Christian prayer. Automatically, because I'm a Christian, because I am blessed to have Christ Jesus in my life, and through that blessing and through that love that Christ has showed me, every prayer I pray, I can only pray through Christ, because that's all I know. And whether I end it in the name of Jesus or not, it is a Christian prayer, because it's the only way I can pray is through Christ. And that opened up a lot of doors for me. And it brought this scripture that I read to you alive all the more, because it made me realize that Christ is with us. Every area, every part. This person who wrote this scripture, when the darkness crowded in on their life and all they saw was darkness and nothing else, this person was reminded that to God, the darkness is his light. And that though we see darkness, God sees light and is with us during that time. And this person tried to run away from God and tried to run to the ends of the sea. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. And no matter how far we try to run away in our life, God is always there. So as we move forward this summer, speaking about some topics that aren't necessarily Christian, God is still concerned with them. Completely and totally concerned with all that is going on in this world, and has something to say to us about our justice system, about the coronavirus, about the nastiness that has pervaded our culture, about all things and everything. So it's not necessarily us leaving Scripture. It's seeing what Scripture has to say, what God has to say about these things in our lives. Because the truth is, God cares. God cares greatly and is greatly concerned. And so I'm reminded of a man by the name of Karl Barth. Some of you may or may not have heard of him. He was a contemporary theologian in the 1950s, 60s, 40s, around there. And I'm going to misquote Barth, but Karl Barth said that when a preacher preaches, he should preach with the Bible, or she, they should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. All preaching should connect with where we are and what we're doing in our own lives. So we're going to attempt to do that this summer. And I ask you for your prayers as I prepare the sermons, and that we may hear what it is God is saying about those top topics. I leave you with this benediction from Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.